Hello, welcome to I Need a Drink, a podcast where we show you the reality of what it really means to own a business.
I Need a Drink.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Isa.
How's it going?
Good. No. You're introducing the show today.
I know. I feel so special.
Well, that's because you wanted to talk about something, right?
Well, I just found an article that I thought was interesting.
Cool. Let's talk about it. Where'd you find it?
Open Forum. AmericanExpress.com.
Oh.
Open Forum. I didn't even realize that it was that.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I thought it was OpenForum.com, but it's American Express Open Forum.
Mm. All right.
So AmericanExpress.com is busting the 10 biggest small business myths.
Oh, cool. Do you want to explain like what that means a little?
Yeah. So kind of I was interested in finding myths of owning your own business, owning a small business, because I'm sure there are a lot out there. You hear a lot of things that are going to happen or how it's going to be or how you should run your small business. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of myths out there. So I found this article that I thought was interesting. So I thought maybe we can talk about it.
Let's see what's true and what's not true.
Yeah. So number one, the customer is always right.
Bullshit.
Right. The they're saying if the customer was always right, every company would be out of business, which is true. Sometimes you know your business and you have to let them know that. Obviously,
clients don't know how your industry works at all, right?
Exactly. They might think they do, mm-hmm. But they don't. So
that's huge in photography, especially. Yeah. Like
hairdressing also.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I imagine, eh?
Yeah.
When they'll be like, oh, I want my hair to be like this color. And you're like, it's not possible. Like, well, I think it is possible. It's like, no.
It's not. Exactly. It's not. Somebody comes in with their hair, they've been dyeing black from a box from the pharmacy for 10 years, and they want to be platinum blonde, and they need to be out in 2 hours. Yeah, no, not going to happen. And I actually, that was a mistake that I had made many times where I tried to make the customer right and I tried to satisfy them with exactly what they wanted.
Happy.
And yeah, and that's not going to make them happy because it's not possible. Something's physically impossible to do.
And then if you can't do it, even though you knew you couldn't do it and you actually don't get it done, they probably think you're a moron after, right?
That's exactly what happens. So they might be a little bit bummed at first, but they end up being happier in the long run if you're just honest with them and try to take the time to explain to them.
Mm-hmm. How it makes you look so much stronger. Like if you know your business and your industry and you're like, obviously you don't go like, no, fuck you, leave my house right now.
Right.
Or my office. But if you explain to them, that's not possible because of this, 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 this. Well, how about instead we do this, 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 and this? They might think, oh, look, this person actually knows what she's talking about. She's a professional. And they'll probably have more respect for you afterwards.
Exactly.
No?
And that does end up happening. And I'm somebody who...
Value, man.
I have a hard time saying no to people. So it was really hard for me to get the hang of. But once you have the hang of, that's exactly what happens. They do end up having more respect for you. And even kind of, this is going a little bit away from it, but like kind of knowing your limit, mm-hmm. kind of being like, no, can't do that. Whether it's because it's not possible or you just can't do that, people are much more, they do have more respect for you and they are happier when you're just honest with them.
That's what, even for pricing, right?
Right, yeah.
Like you say, oh, this package, let's say, is $3,000 or whatever it is you charge. And then they're like, whoa, that's not how much it's worth. This other guy does it for $500. Mm. It's just like for photography. It's like, well, you know, that's I know my price, I know my value, and
exactly.
This is what the price is. If you want to come with me, great. If not, please feel free to go see the $500 guy.
Exactly.
Most of the time, they stay with you.
Exactly. What's actually happened to me many times where they didn't stay with me and they did go to the cheaper person and then had to come back to me to fix their hair.
Ah, good.
So it ends up costing them more in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, customer is not always right.
So does the article say that too? Oh yeah, they did say.
Yeah.
You'll go out of business.
And it says, however, since the customer is always the customer, which I kind of like that, mm-hmm. it is important to see things from their point of view. Listen and empathize. The next step is to firmly set their expectations from the start so they will be satisfied at the end. And that's exactly what it is. If you just try to satisfy them, you are not setting their expectations realistically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like
Agreed.
That.
Agreed. Cool.
Okay. Yeah. Number two.
Yeah.
Build it and they will come. This is not the field of dreams. just because a founder builds it does not mean customers will line up to buy it.
No, know your market and go chase your target market. And
exactly. Especially these days, there's so many businesses out there that just opening something or starting something or making something is just not enough.
Mm-hmm. No, you have to wow the customer. Like, your marketing has to be spot on, and you have to keep consistently, like, there has to be a consistent way of you just communicating with your clients so that they build a connection with you and they'll want to buy with you because they respect and they like you, not just about your product. No,
exactly. Exactly. You need you kind of need that
oomph,
that extra,
because that's a word.
Oomph. Why not? Everything's a word now. Bootylicious in the dictionary. Oomph is a word. Okay. Number three.
Well, what does it say? Number two.
I just told you.
Oh, that was it. Two lines.
This is where so many business owners forget to focus. Oh, I should probably read the one before that too. Success in business is really about building the best distribution and marketing for the product. It's pretty much what we said.
Yeah, I know, right? Who needs these articles?
Right. Just give me the title. We'll explain the rest. This is where so many business owners forget to focus.
Mm-hmm. And, so true.
Yeah, marketing, selling yourself, selling your business, selling your product. And like you said, making that connection with your target audience or customers.
That's so big right now. Yeah. Like, I went to a marketing, what's it called? Seminar, I guess you can say.
Okay.
Seminar? Workshop.
Okay.
I went to a marketing workshop 2 weeks ago. It's like basically it's 3 hours and just you sit with one person and they talk about their subject. And they said things that I already am using, but it was great to actually have that feedback saying like, you are doing this correctly. Where he said that basically how it works now, marketing, is that you don't want to market how it used to market in 10 years ago. Now everybody wants a story. They want they want to feel a connection with your product and with you as a company. Yeah. So it's like important to make your website stand out as a story and where they can relate to it.
Definitely.
And that's basically what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was super interesting.
No, I agree. You have to stand out from everyone. Mm-hmm. Number three, sales is the most important number. Nonsense, it says. In measuring financial performance, sales are vanity, cash flow is sanity. Oh, little rhyme there.
Okay.
It makes no sense to grow the sales of a company if they keep losing money over a period of time. Is there less money at the end of the month than at the beginning? Fail. Successful small business owners focus on cash flow and know how to read their cash flow statement. I know we're going to be doing another podcast on this, so I'm not going to go too much into detail, but you'll have to listen to the other podcast. But I did have a business that failed before, and I believe this was one of the main reasons why, was that we didn't focus on the amount of money that was coming in consistently from month to month and find ways to kind of fix that.
Okay.
So, but at the end of the year, like, my accountant almost laughed in my face. Like, he was like, what are you guys doing? And we had no choice but to.
So basically, what does it say? It's like, it's not about the sales. It's about the money that's coming in versus your expenses. Is that what it's saying?
Cash flow, not necessarily the sales. Because I mean, you could be selling, say, for $10,000 in a month, but if you're spending 20, 15,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the cash flow needs to be consistent and make sure that there is more money at the end of the month than at the beginning.
Right. Which is possible. Okay, number three.
Number four.
Because I pay attention.
Teamwork is about building consensus.
Mm.
While the success of the company does depend on building a great team, let's not get confused. Steve Jobs always said that consensus is not the same thing as collaboration. The leader sets the direction and the team needs to be able to effectively work together to accomplish that objective. Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I mean, some people are better in leading than others and there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that one was short and sweet. Number five.
Awesome.
The financial numbers can be outsourced. That's way over my head. I have no idea what it means.
Financial numbers can be outsourced, as in like get an accountant?
I don't know.
Because I'd be like, yeah, duh.
No, they can't.
Oh, no, they can't?
And this is what American Express is telling us.
Oh, okay.
Financial statements are the company's scorecard. If an owner does not know where they have been, how can they know where they are going? Profit and loss, balance sheets, and cash flow statements need to be reviewed and understood every month. Again, I think it kind of goes back to like number three, what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
I think it can be outsourced, but you still need to be on top of it yourself and know what's going on.
Don't trust somebody to just like take care of it and know what's best for your company. Just be in it and keep like on top of it.
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Number six, customers only care about low prices. This is so not true. This is another thing that's terrible. I've actually argued with so many owners, but like bosses and stuff before about this, is that there's no, they don't only care about low prices, because often, especially when it comes to services and stuff like that, a low price isn't always a good sign.
No, but especially like even for like photography or design for that matter, if you're able to explain to the client like the value behind why you're charging so much,
right,
they'll understand, and they'll if they understand that value behind your product, they'll pay for it. Like exactly. For me, it happens to me all the time where I'll see something that's like $10 that's like cheapette, let's say, or I'll see the same product but like has either more features or a renowned company for durability, and it's like, I don't know, $18. Most of the time I'll go with the $18. Yep, you definitely. Know, because I understand the value behind that product, exactly, versus the cheapy wannabe kind, you know.
I actually had this conversation today about diapers.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because there was diapers on sale, and anyways, there was diapers on sale, and I got into a debate about getting the generic brand diapers because they were cheaper.
There's some products you just don't want to.
You just can't do that. I will pay double the price for something that's not going to cause shit thrown at my son's back.
It's true, though. Some products you just don't want to. Yeah. What is it? Also, like, I was at the store once, and I was like, no, for that, I'm going to pay for the real brand. What was it? Must have been some kind of medicine or something. It's like some products you just don't want to not take the risk, because generic brands most of the time will be pretty much very close.
And I actually heard that medication in general is like one of those things that you should buy generic because it's the exact same thing.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay, well, anyways, there's some things that just like you don't want to do it either, because like, let's say, I can imagine for the diapers, like the glue, how is it made? Like if it's on sale and it's cheap,
you don't know what it's made
with. Is it toxic?
Exactly.
Is it not?
Exactly. Is it going to irritate the skin? And that was actually my argument. Mm-hmm. So,
for me, it was cream. Because for me, a cheap cream, like let's say the dollar store now these days, they have like all these like, oh, look, we have all the same brands, blah, blah, blah. But it's still like a dollar rather than at the Pharmaprix, it's like $3 or $4. Mm. But every time I try to buy something from the dollar store, my skin explodes.
Yeah. No,
like
it's not
like,
the same.
No, we don't like this at all. So I just don't. I don't go generic brand with creams, and there's a lot of products like that.
No,
so
I agree. I also,
clients don't care about discounts. A lot of them do,
right?
But I'm assuming it's more for products that they either buy all the time or they don't really care about.
Right. They say here some of the best companies in the country deliver low prices and great customer service, like Walmart, Southwest Airlines, and Costco. Since most things are a commodity, small business owners will not be successful competing on price. They need to focus on the value of their solution.
Ta-da, big word.
They need to focus on the value their solution brings to solving the pain of the customer.
Solving the pain of the customer?
Yeah, I know. I don't like how they worded that, but it's pretty much what we just said.
Okay.
Know your value and charge accordingly.
Absolutely.
Don't always compete on price. Compete on value and quality. Mm-hmm. And whatever that cost, it costs. People will see your value.
Yeah. It goes back to just like explaining the story behind your product.
Exactly.
Like, make them connect with your product and your whatever you're selling or your service so that people want to pay for it.
Exactly. If it's worth it, they'll pay. Number seven, under-promise and over-deliver.
Oh, this is huge for my business. I tell this to my guys all the time but I don't know if the article is going to be like, fuck you, slap in the face. But to me, it's huge to, I'm not going to say on purpose, but if ever you have a little something to give to your clients, don't tell them right away. Like, let's say you are making them a wedding video and you promised by their contract 3 to 5 minutes, and then at the end when you finish the video, you put it up at 7 minutes, you give it to them, mention it to them saying like, I gave you guys extra 2 minutes because your video was so beautiful and you guys were so amazing, blah blah blah. Under promise, over deliver, it goes miles for us.
I agree with that, and they're actually saying not the opposite, but they're saying that if you constantly set the expectations of the customer low, that you will never have the opportunity to get or retain that customer. Saying that if you're like, well, I can only offer this, the customer might go for somebody that's setting their expectations higher, and it's, even though they'll be disappointed in the end, that other company still got their business rather than
you. But I think that's a little different to what I'm saying, because it's like, I'm not giving the customer less than what they're promised, I guess you can say.
No, Exactly. But they're saying that if you, because again, I think it goes back to kind of selling yourself, that if you undersell yourself, even though you know you can probably give them more in the end and they'll end up being happier, if you're underselling yourself, you might be missing out on potential clients because they kind of, they aren't looking for that. They're looking for more than that.
Yeah, but I don't see it that way, personally.
I don't see that. I'd prefer to, and again, from past experiences, I prefer to set their expectations low. And if you
lower.
And if you end up giving more, then fantastic. Yeah. Everyone's happy. But
because I
kind of understand what they're saying also, but I'd rather stay, I guess, almost humble.
Because I feel like it's, you create yourself a reputation after that you're awesome. People won't specifically say something like, oh, you know what? Like, I paid for 5 minutes, but they gave me 7 and you should expect the same. They wouldn't do that. They would be like, you know, they were super nice. Their customer service was great.
They gave me more than I paid for,
blah, blah, blah. So it's like, I feel like it would be much more rewarding to just like, just don't say it. Under-promise, like meaning promise them something, what, you know, whatever your company product is, whatever. And then if you have the possibility of doing it, Give them a little more, you know, and then that will just like blow them away. They won't expect it and they'll just like walk away extremely happy. They're special, you know, because at the end of the day, you want to make your clients feel special.
You want everyone to feel special. Exactly.
So,
and if they feel like they're getting more than everyone else, even if you are giving it to everyone else, it's still going to make them feel better.
Exactly.
So I understand what they're saying here, but I don't
completely agree with it.
Exactly.
I agree with you. Screw you guys.
Screw you, American Express.
Become a sponsor.
we love you. Success is about making money. Of course it is.
Is it? I've been doing it wrong.
Sure, it's one of the ways to keep score. But if the small business owner focuses on only getting rich, then he will never achieve it.
I completely agree.
Yeah. Build value and cash flow from the company and the financial rewards will always come. And also, you can't do something solely for the money. You have to do something because you're passionate about it.
Absolutely.
And you want to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe that if you do it for the right reasons, money will come.
I've actually had a few conversations with people where, because I run a lot of businesses, or I try, like I have an idea per day about something. I don't run them all, thank God, but I could. And people will always like confide in me saying like, okay, I need to find a business to start too. I want to become an entrepreneur as well. It's like, I need to think of something that makes money.
Right.
And I always tell them the same thing. I was like, no,
you're
doing it backwards. Yeah. You have to think about something that you love and that you'll stick to, because if you absolutely want an idea that quote unquote will make money in the first 2 years, it doesn't make money.
Right.
Most of the time, your business won't make money in the first 2 to 5 years. And then if you're not passionate about what you're selling, you're going
to
give up.
You have to do it because you love it. It's something you're going to do anyways.
That you believe in.
Right.
And you just like, it just is a part of you, you know?
If you don't believe in it, you can't sell it.
No, so true. How do you expect to sell a product if you don't believe in it?
Exactly.
Like, buy it. It's great. Other people make it and they make lots of money for it.
Yeah. No, that's not how it works.
Not at all.
All right. Number 9, spend money to make money. The truth is that too much money can actually make the business owner stupid. Throwing a lot of money at a problem is proven to be wasteful and not an answer to any solution.
Mm-hmm.
Spend money carefully and measure each investment's result. Again, I have to agree with this because I've had a business fail because of that. I kept having it in my head that if I want to make money, I got to spend money, and I stupidly spent money and it caused me to crash and burn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't always have to make money. You have to be smart about it. Find ways to, I guess, know your spending limits of what you should be spending to be able to at least profit a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. You can't, you don't have to be stupid. People think, you know, you need $1 million to open a business. It's not the case.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Yeah. I mean, you do need a little bit of money. Yeah. You do have to be willing to invest a little bit.
Yes.
But don't be stupid about it.
A lot of people don't realize that too, when they're starting a business, that, you know, you're going to have to spend a few bucks, like a few hundred bucks or thousands of bucks to actually get it going, or else it's like, it's not magical. You can't just be like, okay, I'm going to start a business today. Bing.
Right.
No.
There is some investment, but you don't have to be stupid about it either.
Yeah.
Number 10, I'm curious to what they're going to say here, because
what does it say?
Be active on all social networks.
Oh.
Yeah. I kind of feel like you do have to be active on all social networks.
No. Okay. Wait, can I try to guess? I'm going to say be active on social networks if you're able to keep up. Because if you're let's say you're active on Instagram, Facebook, you're available on Twitter and Snapchat, but Twitter and Snapchat, you fail at updating it in a while, it's going to look like your business is like quote unquote empty and like just like inconsistent and old, and people won't connect with you. They'll be like, oh, well, you know, clearly this person doesn't care given that she's never there. So that will end up hurting you in the end, I would believe. That's my guess.
This isn't what they're talking about, but I think that's a really good point.
Okay.
They're saying that it could be a waste of time. The truth is that social media can be a worldwide waste of time. The small business owner should find out where his customers and prospects' conversations are happening, then focus consistently on that social media tool to become part of the of that conversation.
Oh, I agree.
That's true. You don't want to be wasting. I mean, there's so much you have to do when owning your own business, and so many places that you have to focus your energy that you should not be focusing it in a spot that isn't that
people
isn't
aren't listening to.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're, you know, if there's a lot of visual aspects to your business, then maybe focus more on Instagram rather than Twitter. If you have a lot to say, I guess, for your business, focus more on Twitter than Instagram.
It also, it depends on your industry too, right? Like if your customer base is younger, then maybe you might go on Twitter or Snapchat because now it's super popular.
Right.
If it's older, you might want to stick around to Facebook because a lot of people are there. If you're like in between, like our age, 30-ish, you go to Instagram because now it's really big.
Right. Yeah. I love Instagram. I've been loving Instagram since I opened my page for my blog. Yeah, I'm loving it. Yeah.
And see, and like a few months ago, when you didn't have this blog, you hated Instagram.
Exactly. And like, I kind of opened a page on the major social media networks, and Instagram is what I'm having the most fun with, and I get the most response from.
Yeah. It's huge net right now. Yeah. It's like the peak.
And I think it's because people are very visual. People, especially with social media and internet right now, people like to see things and not just hear them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the main word in this be active on all social networks is the all part, is you don't have to be active on all social networks.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Choose
with that.
One or two, like it said, where your people. Customers' conversations are happening, and take that and run.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And that's it for this one.
That was really interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, American Express Open Forum, and Barry Moltz. He's the one I think who wrote this.
Well, we'll send it to me so that I can put it on the description here below. Do you want to finish it off?
So thank you so much. If you liked what you hear today, be sure to go and follow us online at creativerendezvous.com/podcasts and on facebook.com at facebook.com/creativerdv. And be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. 5 stars. Don't need to write anything. Just give us five stars.
We'll be cool.
Yeah, we'll know that you love us. So that's it. Bye.
Bye. Have a good week.